Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Larsen Products Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. The statements are not the guarantee of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference has been recorded. I now hand over the conference to Mr. Aryan Sehgal, Promoter and Whole-Time Director. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and a very warm welcome to the Q1 FY26 earnings conference call of Larsen Products Limited. I'm joined by Mr. Santosh, our CFO, and SGA, our Investor Relations Partner. Our results and earnings presentation have been uploaded on the stock exchange and the company's website, and I hope everybody had the opportunity to go through the same. Let me begin with the current industry scenario, followed by our strategies and performance in Q1 FY26, post which we will open the floor for questions and answers. Over the past 18 to 24 months, the plastic labware industry has experienced a moderation in growth momentum, resulting in a period of relative stagnation across the sector. While the overseas market was relatively soft for this quarter, the order book in the export market is relatively robust. The overseas business can see some lag in revenues on account of dispatches and delivery schedules. We have also seen an increasing RFQs in the recent months. Parallelly, we have seen green shoots of recovery in the domestic market begin to emerge in the previous quarter. On the domestic front, we have delivered a growth in Q1 FY26. These are positive indicators that reinforce our optimism for a broader industry resurgence as we progress further in FY26. Throughout the phase of external challenges, Larsen has continued to demonstrate resilience, and we have maintained the leadership position in the domestic market as well as a reliable plastic labware supplier to the life science industry. Despite a period of subdued demand, we have remained focused on investing to expand our capacities and capabilities with our two new facilities. With demand trends beginning to turn a corner and offering signs of picking up, we are strategically well-positioned to capitalize on these opportunities and drive growth both in revenue and profitability. While we continue to navigate near-term headwinds, our confidence in the long-term growth potential of the plastic labware industry remains firmly intact. Our capital expenditure program is nearing completion and will significantly enhance our production capabilities. This expansion also lays the foundation for the rollout of new product lines like cell culture and bioprocess, which will nearly double our addressable market by opening access to segments comparable in size to our current portfolio. Speaking of our ongoing CapEx, phase one of commercial production at our new facility has already started, and with phase two on schedule to commence operations in the second half of this year. We anticipate initial revenue contribution from our cell culture to begin in Q4 of this year, with full-scale ramp-up expected in the next two financial years. This expansion enhances our ability to meet growing industry demand while improving cost efficiencies. We remain committed to advancing automation and optimizing our processes to scale production efficiently. all while upholding the exceptional quality standards that define our brand. Turning to our financial performance, reflecting the improvement in the demand environment, our standalone revenue has grown by 10% over the last year. Consolidated revenue in Q1 FY26 grew by 8% year-on-year. Amidst the relatively subdued demand environment still persisting in the overseas market, our standalone export revenue grew by 5% year-on-year in Q1 FY26. We continue to double down on the two-pronged strategy of expanding both the Tarsons branded product as well as the ODM partnerships. We have been consistently showcasing our wide product portfolio and reinforcing our commitment to consistent quality and reliable supply chain on various domestic as well as overseas platforms. The response of the customers have been encouraging, and we remain optimistic about translating the increasing number of inquiries. Revenue in the domestic business has grown by 12% in Q1 FY26. With improving industry demand and the introduction of new categories leading to an expansion of our total addressable market, we are optimistic of getting back and maintaining a higher sustainable growth in the domestic business in the coming years. Merbe, our Germany-based Europe-focused entity acquired in FY24, reported a flat revenue growth for the period. This was primarily due to budget constraints in the region, as well as several European countries, including Germany, experiencing delays in spending amidst government elections, which in turn impacted performance. Leveraging Norway's established distribution network and strong market presence, we will be introducing Tarsons manufactured products through its channels, unlocking cross-selling opportunities and optimizing capacity utilization. While the transition from third party to in-house products will take time, we are progressing steadily, laying a strong foundation for long-term value creation in the overseas market. As the product range expands and operations at Norway scale up gradually, we are confident of delivering steady growth and profitability there. Looking ahead, we remain firmly committed to our strategic priorities. One of them would be strengthening our presence in the domestic market through expanding our product portfolio and increasing the wallet share among our existing customer base. Number two would be to expand our overseas footprint by accelerating growth in overseas markets through both branded and ODM channels. Number three would be leveraging Norway's distribution strength to not only deepen our reach in the EU markets, but also using it as cross-selling opportunity to sell existing Tarsons manufactured products in the European markets. We maintaining consistent profitability through increased automation and continuous focus on operational efficiency. Over the years, Tarsons has effectively competed against global multinational corporations, establishing and maintaining a leadership position within our core product segment in India. As we expand into new product categories, we are confident in our ability to replicate this success. Backed by Tarsons' strong brand equity, diverse product portfolio, robust distribution network, and unwavering focus on quality, we are well positioned to deliver steady growth in the years to come. With this, I request Santosh for his comments on the financial highlights.
Good evening, everyone, and a very warm welcome to our Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. Let me take you through the financial performance for the quarter. Standalone revenue from operations for Q1 FY26 stood at 71 crore, reflecting a year-on-year growth of 10%. Consolidated revenue from operation for the quarter was 91 crore, making a growth of around 8% compared to Q1 FY25. revenue contribution from Norway during the quarter was 20 crore. On a consolidated basis, export revenue stood at 43 crore, while domestic revenue was 48 crore. The domestic business has grown by 12% YOY, while the export business has grown by 3% YOY. Standalone EBITDA for Q1 FY26 came in at 22 crore compared to 17 crore in Q1 FY25, reflecting a growth of around 31% YOY. There was a one-time expenses relating to provision for damage to the machinery during transit during Q1 FY25. Adjusted for that impact, EBITDA growth would be around 11% YOY. Standalone EBITDA margin for Q1 FY26 stood at 31.2% versus 26.3% in Q1 FY25, reflecting an improvement of 490 basis points. After adjusting for the one-time expenses, margin in Q1 FY25 was 30.9%. Accordingly, the improvement in margin from Q1 FY25 to Q1 FY26 would come to around 30 basis points. Consolidated EBITDA for Q1 FY26 was around 25 crore, with EBITDA margin at 27%. Adjusted for one-time expenses last year, consolidated EBITDA has grown by 13.5% YOY, with margin expansion of 140 basis points. Standalone PAT for Q1 FY26 stood at 3.6 crore compared to 6.5 crore in Q1 FY25. The decline in PAT is driven by higher depreciation expenses of 17.8 crore compared to 9 crore in Q1 FY25 due to the capitalization of Panchala facility. Once the facility will be fully commissioned and revenue contribution commences, PAT margin is expected to return to normalized levels. We expect the capacity utilization ramp up at the upcoming facility to happen over FY27 and FY28. Cash PAT for standalone entity for Q1 FY26 is stood at around 21 crore compared to around 15 crore in Q1 FY25, registering a year-on-year growth of 38%. On consolidated levels, PAT stood at 1.8 crore compared to 4 crore in Q1 FY25. PAT margin stood at 2%. Cash PAT on consolidated level stood at 21.7 crore as compared to 15 crore in Q1 FY25, registering a growth of 44% on a YOY basis. With this, I would like to open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking your question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Raman KV from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for allowing me to ask a question. I just want to understand that the depreciation has doubled on YOY basis. And how much depreciation are we expecting going forward once the phase 2 plant also commences?
We are expecting a depreciation of, you know, in around 80 to 85 crore in FY26.
And sir, with respect to the first phase, you said the first phase has already operating. I just want to understand, in the Q1, how much revenue came from the new Panchala facility?
Very limited revenues from the Q1 because we started commercial operations just recently. There was a lot of trials which went on and a lot of customer sampling domestically as well as in overseas markets. But the revenue contribution is very, very negligible at this point of time. We would start seeing more revenue in Q2 and a lot of revenue in Q3 and Q4.
And so in the first phase, how much revenue are we expecting?
In the first year?
Yeah, like this year. What will be the incremental revenue?
At this point of time, we will not be able to give an exact number for the partial incremental revenue. It depends a lot on how the products pick up, a lot of factors globally on overseas markets, as well as the cell culture coming in, the trial production starting at the end of Q3.
Sir, my one last question is with respect to the opening. In the opening comment, there was a comment made by the management that there was a lag effect with respect to the international market. So can we see any spillover revenue from the international customers in Q2?
No, absolutely. By lag effect, what we mean is sometimes for the Q1, we cannot register revenues beyond the 21st or the 20th or the 21st of the last month, you know. So if it's April, May, June, we can only register revenues up to 20th June or 21st June, which is international revenues, because it can only be recognized as a revenue according to the auditors if the bill of lading is, you know, generated. And if we cannot generate the bill of lading, it leads to, you know, it leads to be considered as not a revenue. So that will always be spilled over to July revenue, right?
How much revenue spillover are we expecting?
I do not have that at the back of my head, but there were lots of orders which were ready and did not be accounted for in June, which would be accounted for in July.
Any percentage figures?
No, I don't have the data ready at this point.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Jasdeep from Clockvine Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Sir, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Sir, my question is, first question is, first of all, have you started exporting your products to Norway?
Yes, we have started exporting. Yes.
Okay, you started exporting. Okay.
Yes.
Does 1Q revenues reflect exports to Norway, or it still will get reflected from Q2 onwards?
Yes, there are negligible revenues at this point of time. So we have, you know, we are building certain strategies on how we are introducing our products. So, Norway is more of a strategic acquisition where we, you know, are trying to build a very concise strategy on how we can grow very robustly into the European market, more so today with the global conditions. So, we would not, you know, look in so much into just the transfer revenue between Tarsus and Norway on a quarter-to-quarter basis, but look at more as to how we can build a very, very sustainable European sales channel network through Norway for Tarsus.
Got it, sir. And sir, what's the outlook for Norway for this year? Norway's revenues have remained flattish ever since you have acquired the company. So,
Right.
So, will the company start growing this year?
We expect and hope that there will be a certain amount of growth coming in this year. Having said that, the economy conditions in Europe and, you know, the global uncertainty all over the world is not improving and helping things for Norway. The more we inject new products and the more we solidify our strategies with Norway to be able to grow beyond what they currently are, will lead to larger growth levels for Norway. Otherwise, being present in the European economy, we cannot expect Norway on a standalone basis without injecting new products, without injecting new geographies to grow at mid-double-digit levels, because the German economy does not have that kind of growth for a company to be able to do that.
Got it. And when do you start injecting new products into Norway?
As we stabilize our capacities and new products, so at this point of time, we would first want to ensure that all the new products what we are building are well tried, well tested in the domestic market, and capacities are utilized, you know, initial capacity is utilized for external customers. And once we have the capacity reliability, the product quality reliability, we would move, you know, ahead with the Norway integration. But Having said that, the strategies are very fluid because at this point of time, we do not know how we would have to approach the international market or the overseas market over the next 3 to 4 months.
Got it, sir. And sir, what is US as a percentage of your overall exports? And given that, you know, US has now imposed 50% duty on India,
right,
do you think that exports to US will be viable going forward?
See, at this point of time, we are not, you know, we cannot comment on this because the matter is still, you know, still not complete. I think 25% is what is effective as of now. 25% is what comes into effect in a few days or maybe 10 to 15 days. The US is a very important market for Tarsons. It's not a large portion of revenue, but it's a very important portion of revenue at about 10 to 12% of our consolidated revenues. So we would need to find, you know, the best strategy moving forward, considering once everything is finalized based on the international agreements between India and US.
Got it, sir. So can I ask more questions?
I don't know, the moderator can inform that because if there are other people in the line, I'm not aware.
Sure, I'll jump back in the queue. Maybe if nobody comes, I'll come back again.
Thank you. A reminder to participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone phone. The next question is from the line of Aditya from Securities Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So my question was on, you know, tariffs. Now, if the tariffs remain at current levels, would it be viable for our supply, our customers to, you know, continue taking products from us?
We sell a wide range of products. The advantage of Tarsons is that, you know, we have a wide product portfolio and we are not a very focused company in the life science sector making only one category of products. So our entire business model over the years has been built on the Indian customer, and then we have taken those products to the overseas markets because of our reliable and consistent quality. So, yeah. I think we make various products which are supplied primarily in US countries by US manufacturers where the price gap is very large, and we supply certain products which we compete with the Chinese where it's neck-to-neck pricing. So at this point of time, it's very difficult for me to give you an exact answer. I think we'd have to see where we are relative to other economies when the dust finally settles on what the final tariff is going to be for India, for other countries and so on. So at this point of time, at 50%, you know, it's not the best trading environment, but, you know, we will see how things move on over the next 2 to 3 months. Before, you know, trade deals are signed or things are finalized, it would be very difficult for us to know what our, you know, impact would be as a company.
But sir, in terms of new orders finalization, are we seeing a delay from a customer end?
Absolutely. I think what momentum we were seeing over the last 6 to 8 months, that momentum is not the same over the last 2 weeks or maybe probably over the last 10 days since these tariff news have come in, because everybody likes to take a cautious step and nobody wants to, you know, have a knee-jerk reaction and see what actually comes out of this at the end of it before, you know, they take further steps ahead. So at 50% tariffs, you know, we cannot expect, you know, new inquiries coming our way and growth coming from the American markets for sure. I mean, for the incremental growth.
And but sir, are there any other geographies where we can start supplying products which could sustain our exports growth?
No, I think America and India both are very large markets for Tarsons, and I think we made a strategic acquisition in Germany, and we are very prevalent and growing our strength in Asia. So we will, you know, we will try and use these markets to, you know, further fuel our growth, and we are very positive and confident of being able to find a solution for the trade to the United States as well, because that continues to be a growing and important market for Tarsus.
Understood. And so this new CapEx, which we have commissioned now in Panchna, I believe these are for existing products. So how do you see the ramp-up happening for this year? And if you could just talk a little bit about how many RFQs we have won.
Sure. We don't generally discuss on our internal business on what RFQs we've participated in, what we won, what we won, because generally these are not, these are OEM businesses and, you know, confidential in nature, because we make for other brands in the international market. But the Panchla facility is actually a 25%-30% of capacity expansion and 70-odd% of new product introduction, products we've not made before.
Yeah, but the phase one, which we have commissioned now, that is for the existing products, right?
That is for, that is for existing products, for certain liquid handling products and certain new products as well, which is related to suspension bottles for use for cell culture as well as media bottles. So it's a mix where there is very few new products, but mainly capacity expansion of older products.
Yeah. So my question was, so with the existing orders in hand, and you have been supplying some samples as well, so should one expect the ramp-up of this phase one to be pretty fast, where in the year one only we can have a capacity utilization of around 50-60%, or you see the utilization to be gradual and back-ended?
See, if you see the entire story of Tarsus moving forward with the, you know, it's the domestic business is where Tarsus is one of the market leaders, and we will continue to maintain our leadership position while trying to grow our market share. But the real big growth of Tarsus will come from the overseas market, which is not only the U.S. market, but every market outside India. And we see a lot of uncertainty all over the world. It's just not related to the U.S. tariffs. So the global markets at this point are so fluid that situation is not the most ideal. So while we are ready with our product line and while we are ready with our, you know, parameters, product quality, everything in place, having the trust of large global companies, we would have to see how the volumes would start moving over this year and the coming years.
Understood, sir. And just one last one question from my end. You said that the transition for Nerbe from third-party products to Tarsus products would take time. So just wanted to understand the, why would that be so? Because the question that around.
Hello? I'm sorry, you're not audible. I'm unable to hear.
There might be an audio loss from the participant line. Can we move to the next question, sir? Can we move to the next question, sir?
Yes, please.
Okay. Participants, to ask a question, please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Chirag Maru from Keynote Capitals. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. I'm fairly new to this company, so my questions can be kind of basic. First of all, sir, I would like to understand that we have a target set of 800 crores by FY 2028, which means we would require at least 20% CAGR top line growth. Just wanted to understand the ramp-up of the new facility, which we have recently built up and gradually increased the capacity utilization. With current capacity of 80%-90% utilization, could you just give us some signs or initial thought process how we are expected to have such kind of top line growth?
No, so I'm not sure about the target. This is not a target which the company has set or publicly definitely set. We have our internal targets as a company, but we don't give any kind of guidance to the public markets on what our target is for FY 2027, 2028, or any other financial year. But yes, coming to your other part of the question, what you had asked us, we run about I won't have an exact number at my back of my head, between 110 and 120 machines, and we have more than 4,000 molds. So we don't exactly know what our capacity utilization is, because different molds with different machines can yield different outputs for us, but we believe in the region of 75-80%, and we have capacities of 15-20%, which our revenues can grow by 15-20% with our existing capacity, and we do have the installed capacity in our new facilities which can help us generate additional revenues of about 350-400 crores. So probably the installed capacity base with our new facilities and our old facilities put together would be close to 800 crores, but that by no means is our target for FY28.
Thank you. A reminder to participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Jasdeep from Clockwine Capital. Please go ahead. Ladies and gentlemen, we will reconnect the management line. Please stay hold while we reconnect them. Ladies and gentlemen, the line for the management has been reconnected. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Sir, can you hear me?
Yes, very well.
Sir, in the last quarter, you had mentioned that you might do some special capex if you get, you know, some order from overseas client. Has any such order materialized so far?
So as I said, Jagdeep, we don't really offer in-depth details because these are OEM customers. We have a few projects which we have done, but that's, which we are executing right now, but that's the most I can tell you. I cannot tell you the region, what kind of projects, what kind of customers, because we signed confidentiality contracts, because most of our contract customer projects are OEM. They're not Tarsus branded.
Okay, I got it. And sir, last time you had mentioned that you expect international business to grow faster in FY26 versus the domestic business.
Right.
So your opinion remains the same now also, or because of this volatile global environment, you know, there's some change in that opinion?
Absolutely, there's a change in my opinion, because I do not know when we were speaking three months back, we were in a favorable position in the world trade scenario compared to our neighbors in China, but at this point of time we're in an unfavorable position. So maybe the next time we connect, we might be again in a favorable position. But having said that, it's very difficult to have an opinion because things are not very stable. So unless we see stability, we are not sure which direction to look at.
Got it, sir. That's all from my
side. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Raman KV from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hello.
We request participant to please ask a question. Can we move to the next question as there is no response?
Yes, ma'am. Please move to the next question.
Okay. The next question is from the line of Harsh from Marklis. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Rohan. Hi, there. Just one question. How are you looking at the comparative landscape in the domestic market? Like earlier, around 10 months back, we used to give bulk discounts, price discounts for certain large-sized orders. Is there a need to still give such discounts for getting those orders, and in general, competition from other domestic players?
The competition in the domestic market is highly increased, and the reason for that is sluggish market conditions both domestically and internationally. So while we face the heat being one of the relatively larger companies in India, there are various middle-sized, large-sized companies like us, and even small-sized companies which are facing highly underutilized capacities at their facility. And that is mainly, I believe, due to sluggish market conditions, more because of sluggish market conditions and less because of overcapacity in the industry in India. So while there is intense competition domestically, I think we are figuring our way out and coming out pretty well at the end in the domestic market, primarily due to our strong distribution reach and being the preferred brand for customers all across India.
Okay, but let's say compared to around 3 to 6 months ago, has the intensity increased? Like, is there a need to give higher discounts?
See, I think if you look at our average product realization of e-product consumables, it's been at similar levels over the last 2 to 2.5 years post the COVID boom.
Okay, for it. Any price hikes taken in the last 3 months, or are we expecting to take any price hike going forward in the next 3 to 6 months?
No, absolutely not. I think the market does not have the appetite to digest any kind of price increases at this point of time. As I mentioned, your statement is quite accurate, but not 100%. The market is brutally competitive at this point of time, and everybody is fighting for price because of large underutilized capacities at various players.
Got it. And in the new product segments, particularly cell culture, have you seen any new player, MNC player, set up plant in India, planning to set up plant in India, or any other domestic player planning to do so?
See, I have not heard any rumors of anyone planning to do so. But apart from that, if anyone has other plans which are not known to the public, I will not be aware of it. But as of now, no. And I think with more and more new products, we are looking to differentiate ourselves and elevate ourselves from the competition in the market. And at the same time, finding out effective strategies to compete in the large volume but highly commoditized consumable sector as well.
Okay, got it. That's it from my list. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone phone. The next question is from the line of Sakshi Pratap from Pratap Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my questions. What will be the impact on margins once when the full operations of Panchla will begin, and how do we see the margins panning out in FY 26 and 7, both in terms of EBITDA and PAT, if you can?
Once Panchla operations begin,
ladies and gentlemen,
slightly low.
Ladies and gentlemen, the line for the management has been gone on hold. We will reconnect them back. Please stay connected. Ladies and gentlemen, the line for the management has been reconnected. Thank you, and over to you.
Hello.
Yes, sir, please go ahead.
Yeah. So I think the margins on a yearly basis look at somewhere around 33 to 35% EBITDA at this point of time, and once we are able to stabilize our operations at both our new facilities, I think we could inch towards the 40% EBITDA margin if all the industry factors play into come into place. I think that's a very, very reasonable and achievable target.
So the line for the participant has gone disconnected. We are moving to the next question. Thank you. A reminder to participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Chirag Maru from Keynote Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity again. So my next question is related to the inventory days that we have in our business. Do we do any kind of warehousing for the customer, or we have to always be ready to deliver the product, and that's why our inventory days are like this high, like a year?
It's more about the large number of SKUs and having to have almost ready inventory for all our SKUs. we generally directly do not inventory, generally do not warehouse directly for any customer. However, our distributors do maintain, based on the size and the capability of the distributor, they do maintain certain inventory days for the end final end customer, because we don't sell directly to the final user of the product.
And what kind of inventory days is there on the distributor level at this moment?
It could vary between 15 to 40 days, depending on distributor's scale, distributor size, and the region.
Fair enough. So my next question is related to the optimum utilization for the new facility. By which year do you feel that the new Panchala facility would come to an optimum utilization level?
I think 3 years is what we look at from the date of complete commercialization, where we should reach about 70-75% utilization, which we consider optimum.
So broadly, can I say that by FY29 we would be at 70-75% utilization?
Hopefully, so, because see, again, what we need to consider is that if we look at the kind of products what we are building in Panchala and Amta, I believe that the contribution of revenue from both these facilities would have to be 55-60% in the overseas market and about 40-odd% in the domestic market. So the international business would have to play a very key role in this successful implementation of these capacities.
Fair enough. So my next question is that we do some white labeling for a few international clients. What kind of revenue do we generate on from white labeling?
We generate approximately, 4 to 5 million dollars of revenue on white label.
Okay, and this typically comes from the European market?
It comes from the European market and the North American market only.
Okay. And sir, as you said that our focus with Nerve is to start creating some SKUs or selling our Tarsen's products to Nerve. Could you just give the product acceptability through Nerve? And secondly, would it be a white label product or it would be like Tarsen products only? And what kind of timeline we are expecting to reach like 50 to 100 crores top line coming from Nerve itself?
I think the focus would be on white labeled only, and I think to achieve around 5 million euros of inter-transfer company would take time as we integrate our business between Tarsen's and Nerve. However, the Nerve business is somewhere around 7.5 million euros, and for that to be able to grow closer to 10 million euros and beyond would be a much faster transition. But for us to be able to achieve 5 million out of that, would probably take time. You need to integrate more marketing facilities, more customer reach, as well as add newer products which Nerve does not currently.
Fair enough. So once this capacity gets added, I just wanted to understand, we are almost like on an approximate level, we are doing an EBITDA of approximate 110-115 crores now. Once the new capacity gets added, what are our expectations to utilize the funds? Are we looking to reduce debt going forward or use it for some creating of new SKUs or R&D?
No, actually, we will always use it for R&D and trying to plan for the future. But a significant portion of the retained earnings of the company will be used to pay down the debt.
Fair enough, sir. And sir, if I'm not wrong, you have commented that you are targeting like an overall margin of 38-37% going forward? Operating
yes.
levels?
Yes. Yes.
Just wanted to understand, was it on standalone levels or it was on consolidated levels?
No, it will be on standalone levels, because in Nerve, I think we will expect EBITDA margins to be in the early double digits.
Fair. And currently we are like low single digit, right?
Somewhere in that region, yeah.
What is the reason? I remember that we used to do margins of around 7 to 9%, but since couple of quarter it is in lower single digits. Any particular reason for that?
See, you are talking about the gross margin. We used to have gross margin of 75-79%. Currently it stands at 71%, and our EBITDA margin currently is at 31% on this quarter.
No, I'm just talking about Nerve specifically. We used to do 9-10% EBITDA margins on Nerve, right? Which has dropped down to almost less than 5%. So just wanted to understand the reason behind that.
You know, Nerve had a higher EBITDA margin during FY22 and FY23 only, right? But Nerve is a trader. Nerve cannot have this kind of margin.
I'm saying that for FY25 it was in the range of, if I'm not wrong, in the initial quarter of FY25 it was in the range of 9-10%.
So current EBITDA of Nerve is 9%.
Correct. Fair enough. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. As there are no further questions, I now hand over the conference to management for closing comments.
Thank you all for joining us today. I hope we have addressed all your questions. We remain committed to keeping the investment community informed with regular updates on our developments. For any further information or query regarding Tarsons, please feel free to reach out to us or our investor relations partner SGA. Once again, thank you for your time and support.
Thank you. On behalf of Tarsons Product Limited concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.